week. And this morning, I want us to go and turn back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, this by faith passage. And in Hebrews 11, there's another great character that's mentioned, another great historical person who's mentioned. And to the Jews, this was the Mac Daddy. To the Jewish people, this guy was the one that they would celebrate. This was the guy that was the mighty Moses. And mighty Moses did great things and had great faith before the Lord and before God. We start in verse 23. And it says this, "By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful. But they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather to enjoy the short-lived pleasures of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. By faith, he left Egypt. He left it behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned." And I want us to go to the next verse as well. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled for 7 days. And by faith, Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed." Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, may it speak to us this morning. Help us to move in faith. And God, we love you and we celebrate Jesus who died and rose again. And God, be with us, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people prayed together, amen. So here we have the story in Hebrews 11 that's referencing Moses. Now, what do you know about old Mo? What do you know about old Mo? Well, the full story of Moses is found in the books of Exodus through Deuteronomy. Moses, they say, penned Genesis. He wrote Genesis all the way into Deuteronomy. Moses was the great leader of Israel. He was a mighty, mighty man of God. He was the one that went up on top of the mountain and God spoke to Moses and he brought down the Ten Commandments. I mean, old Mo is a big Joe in the Old Testament. You with me on that today? This is a big guy in the Bible. So the full story of Moses is found in the books of Exodus through Deuteronomy. But next, I want you to know this about Moses, just kind of giving a snapshot of Moses. He was a Hebrew raised by Egyptians who led his people out of slavery. When Abraham had this great family and they multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, they had to go down to Egypt because of a famine. And they stayed in Egypt for a long time. And the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was kind to the Israel people at first. And then another Pharaoh appeared, and that Pharaoh didn't like the Jewish people. He didn't like the Hebrews. And they grew and grew and grew. And that Pharaoh enslaved the Hebrews. But Moses was different. Moses was a little bitty baby. And the Pharaoh hated the Hebrews so much that he ordered an infanticide to be committed, to kill all the children, the baby boys. And Moses' mom and dad hid Moses, floated him down the river. And the story goes that the Pharaoh's daughter, of all people, found Moses. And he was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. He was treated like a prince of Egypt. So Moses, when he was growing up, was a wealthy guy. He was schooled in Egyptian thought and Egyptian folklore. He had it all. But yet, he was a Hebrew. And the story goes that one day he saw one of his brother Hebrews being beaten and opened up a whole can of worms. And God began to use that story to move Moses to become the great man that would lead the people out of slavery through a series of miraculous events. And Moses would lead them out back into the desert, back into the wilderness, and eventually take over the promised land, which is now the nation of Israel today. So we see that Moses did that. But the story of Moses is what's incredible is that he's a man that's moved by faith in dangerous circumstances. When you read about Moses and the crazy stuff that Moses did, I mean, I would say that not many of us today would do what Moses did. that he was so in tune with God, and he moved with God, and he listened to God, and he was willing to step out for God before it happened. Moses was a brave guy, and his courage, we'll discover, comes from the Spirit of God. It came from the Lord. But Moses was mightily, mightily moved in a great way and used in a great way by God. But one thing you see about Moses is this, is that this guy had to put his faith into action. From plagues coming down on Egypt to the crossing of the Red Sea, I mean, he had to put his money where his mouth was. He had to trust in God even when it didn't make sense. And this is probably the biggest one that doesn't make sense. I mean, talking about frogs falling out of the sky and lice invading people and water turning to blood and seas splitting. Hey, who said the Bible's not exciting? There's some wild stuff. That's just Moses, by the way. There's some crazy stuff in here. And this is a guy who's moving forward in his faith, seeing God do incredible things. Now, one thing I want you to know about living a lifestyle of faith is this, is that the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 2, James says, faith without works is what? Somebody finish that for me. Faith without works is, and you know what that means, don't you? It doesn't mean that we're saved by our works. Paul would do a good job of clarifying that. We even saw from the verse there that Abraham was justified by faith. We see that, not by works. But what does it mean that faith without works is dead? Well, I think about that, and I think one of the greatest stories of that is kind of like Peter when he was in the boat. Remember when he was in the boat, he saw Jesus on the water, and Jesus was walking on the water, and the storm was coming, and Jesus said, Peter, if you want to come out, come on, here I am. And what? And Peter had faith, at least at the beginning, and he stepped out of the boat. But before he could ever walk on water, he had to get out of the boat. See, there's something about faith that requires us to go forward, to make a commitment, to make an action, to go forward with what God has for us, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if we don't understand exactly where we're going, what we're doing, how it's going to work out. We talked all about that last week. But it is the action of going forward, even if you don't know how it's going to work out. It's making a decision to do something for the Lord, even if you don't understand how it will happen. You know, the reality is if we are not living by faith, we can never please God. It says that in Hebrews 11. We won't please God. So if we never take steps of faith and we never take active faith where we do faith things, things that require faith, we'll never please God as a church. You'll never please God in your life if you're always scared to do something. If you're always terrified to do something, never to get out of the boat, never to walk on water, you'll never do anything. I mean, I believe that God has a purpose for you. He's got great things for you. But when it really boils down to it, you got to trust in God. You got to be willing to do what He says, even if it doesn't make sense. Now, I've been to Honduras 8 times, and Larry Jennett's back from India, and God bless them, they're back with India. And they can probably echo the same thing, that when you go to these foreign countries, you got to be careful not to drink the water. Because if you drink the water, it can do some serious stuff to you. We had a team member 1 year, he was told, don't drink the water, don't drink the water. He was in college, and guess what he did? He drank the water. He was an idiot, is how I like to refer to him. We love him. We love him graciously. But that guy contracted cholera and all kinds of fun, nasty diseases as a result of drinking water. Now, the reality is, you know, when you go to a foreign country like that, that this water is dangerous. But here's the deal. The food can be dangerous, but you got to drink water and you got to eat. You can't go down there for a week and not eat or drink water. You can't do that. You would die if you did that. So we had to trust the missionaries that the water we were receiving was clean. And we had to trust the missionaries that the food they were preparing for us was clean. Now, the reality is I never got out my little microscope and, you know, analyzed every drop of water that we had and said, oh, this is clean water. No, I took it by faith. Now, I also know that the missionaries were a trusted source to believe in. And likewise, the reality is God is to be trusted. The Lord is to be trusted. But when it was all at the end of the day, did I really, really know that water was clean? I saw what it did to Tom. I saw what it did to him. And I didn't want that to happen to me. But I also knew that if I didn't, by faith, drink that water, if I didn't do that, I would dehydrate on the mission field. In 100-degree weather, that would happen to you. That would happen quickly. You had to trust. And as a result of that, I had to drink water that was clean, that was purified, that was boiled, and the food was clean and all that stuff, but we had to trust people. Likewise, in your life with God, if you're going to do stuff for the Lord, there's just going to be some stuff that you don't have the answers to. There's just going to be some things in life that you're just going to have to believe that God has this. That when He tells you to move, you move. And when He tells you to go, you go. Even if it doesn't make sense. For example, we believe that God saves us by faith. Therefore, we live in a life of confidence. We are able to live in confidence. We believe that people are only saved through Jesus. So by faith, we tell people that. We go and share it with them. Hey, listen, the only way you can be saved is through Jesus. We believe that if we are faithful in giving, that God blesses us. So we tithe. We believe that prayer moves mountains, so we pray. See, if we never really had faith in God, why would we even pray? I mean, if we just didn't trust God, why would you even pray? Because prayer is an action that's calling out on the name of the Lord. Maybe today, some of you all today are ready for that first step to trust in Jesus, to say, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me by grace, I'm giving my life to you. And that act of giving doesn't save you, it's the Lord who saves you, but He responds to your action. See, faith is always with God responding to your action. Understand that today. So here's what we need to know about us today as a church. Are you ready? We must be people of faith. We must be. It only makes sense that we as Christians are people of the faith. Why? Because we begin in faith. We began this whole journey in faith. You had to believe that Jesus Christ was God who went to a cross and died and rose again to be saved. You have to believe that. And if you don't believe that, you can't be saved today. It is a faith. So we begin our Christian journey in faith. But second, we must finish our Christian journey of faith. I believe that we as Christians, we must continue every day to exercise faith in Christ. Every day not to be afraid to give the big things to God, even the little things to God, and to trust that He has this. So as we begin this faith journey, we look at the life of Moses. And I'm also reminded by a famous missionary. They call him the father of modern missions. His name was William Carey. And William Carey, that great Baptist missionary from hundreds of years ago, had a great saying, and he said this. He said, expect great things for God, attempt great things for God. Now, we have that hanging up at the ministry center on the wall, because that's one of my favorite quotes, and I'm going to say it again. It's not the Bible, but it's pretty cool. Expect great things for God, attempt great things for God. I believe if we really let that burn into our spirits, that we believe that God can give us great things, but then we attempt great things for God, the Lord will do an amazing work in our lives. As we look at the life of Moses, let me show you three ways this morning, real quick, how we step out in faith. Three ways how we put our foot out and we trust that God's going to hold us up. Three ways that we do this from the life of Moses. First, we see this, that we must today choose the imperishable. We have to make a decision right now in our hearts and our lives that we will choose the imperishable. Now, Kenny, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says this, by faith, after Moses was born, he was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict, which the king had ordered for all the baby Hebrews to be killed. But the parents believed there was something special. So the faith of Moses actually begins with a godly mama and daddy. Isn't that cool? A godly mama and daddy trusting the little kid into the hands of God. And by faith, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the short-lived pleasures of sin, for he considered the reproach because of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. Here's a man that grew up in luxury. He grew up as a prince of Egypt. He grew up with all kinds of delicacies and palaces and all of this. But yet as his awareness of who he was, that he was a Hebrew and that he was supposed to worship Yahweh, the one true God, as that burns into him through a series of events, Moses is willing to leave behind the pleasures of the world to go live out in the desert and then to lead a bunch of Hebrews into that desert for 40 years. And eventually they will go into the promised land, though he doesn't get to. This is a man that gave up everything for God. He gave up everything for the Lord. And the Bible says that he was actually willing to suffer for the Lord. I believe one thing that we need to understand as a people of faith is that we need to understand the things in life that fades away and the things in life that don't fade away. We need to understand what's really important in life and then what is not important in life. For example, your family is important. Your hobbies are not important. When you sacrifice your family in the name of golf or in the name of bowling, or in the name of hunting, you have created a great disaster in your life. Nothing wrong with hobbies. But which one's more important, your family or your hobbies? There's all kinds of things that's more important in life than other things. And what we see is that this world in itself, this world that we live in, is not important. It's not as important. Let me say that. It's not as important as the Lord is and who God is. Because everything you look around, just look around, this is all going to go away one day. God's going to wipe all this away one day. And it's just going to be those who live for Him and those who don't live for Him. And I hope you're on the right side. And if I was in your shoes, I would want to make sure that what I was investing into was eternal things and not temporal things. The things that I was working towards were things that mattered and not things that didn't matter. Moses chose the imperishable, things that do matter. And therefore, we have to daily choose the things that matter. Now, the reality is if you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you've already made that decision. If you have asked the Lord into your heart, you've believed He died and rose again, you already made that decision that Jesus is number one. And therefore, everything else should follow behind that. Everything else should get behind your decision to follow Christ. But sadly, we don't always do that, do we? We let Jesus in, and then we don't let Him drive the car. We let Him ride the passenger seat. Who's done that before? I have. The reality is every day we must choose what really matters. We choose to tell people about Jesus, even though it might get us ridiculed. We choose to serve in the church, even though a kid might spill milk all on your shirt in the nursery, you know? Or Cheerios in your shirt. I don't know. All kinds of crazy stuff happens back there. It's wild, you know? But you choose to serve. One thing I think that's wonderful is that when we choose to give our tithes and offerings to the Lord, you know, we're making a commitment to give a tenth of our income by faith to God. And that we trust in God with our finances. And I can tell you this, guys, I've never seen anybody outgive God. I never have. I think tithing is one of the great ways that we practice our faith because it's so close to us. It's in our pocketbook, you know. Oh, that preacher's talking about money, blah, 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 blah. There he is. I came on a Sunday. There they always talk about money. No, I'm not. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm saying that Jesus said that your treasure is where your heart is. And if you understand what really matters in life, you won't hold on to the things of life so much. That you'll be willing to give of your time, your talents, and your treasures, that daily you choose. Well, Kenny, it's hard for me to give my time. It's hard for me to give my tithe. It's hard for me to give my patience. It's hard for me to give my service. It's hard, and I know it is. But in the end, it is a choice to live for things that fade away or things that last. It's a choice to give our lives to Jesus, to understand that this world is not what it's about. And by the way, when Moses, the Bible says that he was willing to leave behind the short-lived pleasures of sin, this probably did not mean gross immorality for Moses. It could have been, but probably not. What it probably meant was prestige, power, wealth. That's what that probably means. That he walked away, you ready for this? From money, from power, from the things that we teach our children to go after. He walked away from it because he chose the imperishable. Likewise, if we're going to step out on faith, we have to be willing to have that kind of an attitude, that this is about the Lord, not about my stuff. Second, we need to see the invisible. We need to see the invisible. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger. For Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. Now here's what's wild. You ready? Moses did not fear the king. Now do you just stop there for a second? Pharaoh was one of the most powerful people in the known world. If Pharaoh said, slaughter your whole family, it would happen. By the way, he said, slaughter baby boys. And guess what happened? They slaughtered them. Horrible man. Horrible, horrible, horrible people. Horrible people. Evil people. And whatever they said happened. So do you think Pharaoh really liked it that Moses betrayed the good Egyptians that gave him money and wealth and took this poor Hebrew in when he was just floating down the river? Look how much we've done for you, Moses. Look how much we've treated. Look how good we've treated you. We've took you from being a slave into being a prince. I mean, can't you just see where that would just maybe rift Pharaoh a little bit? Yes or no? But yet, Moses left. And he didn't fear God. Now, was he had some sort of, is Moses just like the man that's just incredibly full of courage? Where did this come from? Actually, Moses had a speaking problem. And he was scared to death to speak in public. He had to get Aaron to speak for him. So it wasn't that Moses had this just unbelievable courage. But here's what it is that he saw God. And as a result of seeing God, there's a song we sing, there is no turning back. Once you see it, you can't turn back. Once you know something, you can't go back on that. Once you've tasted and seen that it's real, you can't go back. So he understood the invisible. Now for us, if we're going to take bold faith moves and trust in God and attempt great things for God, you're going to have to see the Lord today. Now, Kenny, what are you talking about? Seeing God. I mean, you know. That's kind of weird, man. What are you talking about? Well, listen, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I've never seen some sort of vision of God. I've never had a vision of Jesus. I've never, you know, seen Jesus riding in the clouds in a white chariot or anything, white horses. I've never seen that. But I have seen the Lord in times of prayer, not with my eyes, but with the eyes of my heart. I've felt Him in my spirit. I've sensed Him. You know, there's even times when I get up to preach and I can sense if God's moving or not. It's weird how that happens. And I'm not some sage or mystical kind of person. You do too. You sense that too. Can't you just sometimes sense it in the air? Y'all with me on that, Life Community? You just sense it? Now, why is that? Why can some people just sense the presence of God? And we say, we have a prayer meeting, we say, man, the Lord was here. Why are we able to do that? Because we've connected with God. We've had a time with God, a moment with God. It began in our conversion experience, where we gave our life to Jesus by faith. Our faith eyes were open. But then it comes through daily just turning your eyes to the Lord. You know, I want to tell you something. If you aren't having a daily time with God where you allow the Lord to speak into you, you'll never be able to take faith steps because you'll never understand who He is. When you fully grasp that God can do anything, period. God can do anything. Period. Y'all follow me, church? That God can do anything, period. That will change you. It'll make you act different. Why? Because you're no longer following Pharaoh. You are now following the one who is invisible. Moses' courage just came through his faith. Likewise, if you never begin spending time with God, trusting in God, you will never have eyes full of faith. So are you doing that? Are you daily communing with God? Are you waking up in the morning, fixing you a pot of coffee, getting set down somewhere in your house, opening your Bible, on your knees before God? And I'll tell you, there's something about it, guys. There's something about getting on your knees before the Lord. I don't know what it is. They did it in the Old Testament. There's something about falling on your face, praying and calling out to God. And everybody might think you're nuts in your house. They might think you're wacko. The kids walk in and say, Mama, did you fall down? I mean, you know, what are they thinking, you know? But the reality is that you're just there worshiping God. And the more you do that, the more you spend time and you're in the presence of God, the more you'll understand that you can trust God. That when He asks you to do something crazy, God's got this. Because I've seen Him in my spirit. So we choose the imperishable. We choose what matters in life. We see the invisible. We commune with God. But third, you ready for this? We do the impossible. We do the impossible. I love what happens by faith. And I'm just going to tell you this real quick. He instituted the Passover. They crossed over the Red Sea. Crazy stuff. If you go back and you read the story of Moses, I mean, he's before Pharaoh saying, "Pharaoh, let my people go." Remember that? And he said, "If you don't let them go, all the water's going to turn to blood." And it turns to blood. And Pharaoh says, "Okay, you guys can go." And then he says, "No, I really like the hired help. Bring them back." Then he says, "No, you need to let them go. Or there's going to be frogs falling out of the sky." "Okay, we don't want frogs. Send them away." "Okay, if frogs aren't that bad, bring them back in." And Pharaoh does this stuff with lice and frogs and all kinds of junk, you know. Pharaoh's the boss. He's got pride. He's got ego. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. In Egyptian theology, who was the god? Y'all remember? Pharaoh was the god. He was the god in their theology. Ain't nobody going to tell God what to do except for the real God. And when the real God gets involved, everything falls apart. And Moses instituted what was called the Passover. And it was the last plague. It was a serious plague that God told Moses. He said, "Here's the deal. I'm going to send the death angel through." It says, this is how big it is. This is how big that the nation of Israel needed to leave Egypt. This is how much important it was. "I'm going to send them through. And those that take a lamb and they slaughter that lamb and they put the blood on the doorpost and up on top, the death angel will pass by that house. But if they don't have that, the death angel will take them." And sure enough, the Egyptians didn't believe it. And the Bible says there was great wailing that night. And even Pharaoh's own son woke up. When he woke up, he found him dead there. It was a big deal. The impossible happened. And then they went out on that big Red Sea. And then Moses had to put that staff down. And that water came up. And they walked along. I bet they were walking through. I bet it was like looking at SeaWorld aquariums, you know, everything in there. You know, they're walking across that. Egyptians come. They change their mind again. They really like slave labor. They change their mind again. And God just floods all that, drowns them. You know, somebody said, "Kenny, oh, man, the Red Sea, that's just a myth, man. You know, it's actually 6 inches of water is how deep it is, blah, 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 blah." And here's my deal. If it really is 6 inches of water, not a body of water, how miraculous is that God drowned all of Pharaoh's army in 6 inches of water, you know? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that God was able to do that? No, it was a big body of water, by the way. That's what it was. That's what it was. But we see that Moses is now going into the realm of the impossible. Why? Is Moses a mystic? Is Moses? No. Actually, if you read the beginning of the story, you ready for this? This journey begins, you ready? With Moses killing somebody. What? Murderers don't do miracles. Unless a murderer turns to God and sees God in a burning bush. Moses was a man just like me and you. God chose him. God did great things in his life. But he couldn't do it on his own. He had to trust in God. And what I'm learning is this, is that when we do things in our own power, we get what we can do. But when we do things in the power of God, we get what God can do. When we trust in the Lord, it's amazing. We have to stop operating on what we can do. We got to stop doing that. We got to stop saying, "This is what we are able to do." And we got to start saying, "This is what God is able to do." For example, if you operate in your own realm of doing what only you can do, here's what happens. You will become a negative person. Why? Because you'll never be able to do it. It'll never stop. You'll become very negative. You will become a person of doubt instead of faith. You will have insecurity. You will become a person that's very, very insecure because you do not trust in God. And then maybe the biggest thing is that it will rob you of the power of God. You won't see the miracles. You won't see great things. You won't see amazing things. I really believe that God's going to use Life Community Church in a great way. I do. I believe this church is going to grow. I believe we're going to charter on August 17th. I believe we're going to get organized with teams and things like that. I believe we're going to one day have a building. But let me go a little bit further. I believe we're going to plant churches. I believe we're going to raise people up and send them out. I look forward to seeing many preacher boys come and go in this church that will go and plant churches. I believe that. I'm excited for that. I believe that's going to happen. Well, Ken, that's impossible. That's impossible to talk like that. No, it's not. It's God possible, man. It's God possible. I believe that we may go up to New York City here in a couple of weeks, few weeks in that mission trip. And God, I don't know, it's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. God may say, Kenny, we need a life community church up here. And we'll say, all right, cool. We'll send you. We'll bless you. In the name of Jesus. And we'll start one in New York. We'll start one in Honduras. We'll start one in England. Okay, that's insane. Yeah, it is. But that's who God is. God does awesome stuff that we can't wrap our brains around. Do not tell God your plans, because He will just mess them all up. That's what He does. By faith, we do the impossible. So it boils down to this. My decision today is simply this. Take the first steps of faith. Maybe today for you, that is a Christian, that is you trusting in God that He'll take care of your tithe, trusting that He'll take care of that mission trip, trusting that He'll take care of you if you step up and teach that class. Maybe today it's trusting that, you know what, this is the church for you, that you're going to commit to this church and be part of this church family, and you're going to take that step. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's to give your life to Christ. You've never given your heart to Christ, but you are going to take that step. And believe that God has it. One thing I want you to see real quick, and I'm done. I got more, but I'm done today. You know, I read at the very end of this where by faith the walls of Jericho fell. Did you remember that? And by faith, we said something about a prostitute. Remember that stuff? Well, I put that in there for a reason, because it really is connected in the text. See, Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, but Moses never got to experience the promised land. He never got to. They organized, they got ready to conquer, but he wasn't allowed in through a series of events. He was not allowed to go in. But Moses had a young man that was his protege named Joshua. And Joshua would be the one that led the armies into the promised land, to invade the promised land. And the very first obstacle they came across was a city called Jericho. And makes sense to go against it, battling, fighting, but God told Joshua not to do that. Instead to walk around 7 times, 7 weeks, 7 days, lots of sevens in there. And to blow some horns. That makes all the military wisdom in the world, does it not? Circle the fortress and blow horns. Doesn't that make sense? In the process of that, that's exactly what happened. And God leveled the walls by a miracle because they trusted in God. I believe that Moses' mom and dad, their faith impacted Moses. And I believe that Moses' faith, you ready for this? Impacted Joshua. You read the very next thing. There was a spy that lived there in the city of Jericho. Her name was Rahab. And she actually turned her back on her people to follow the Israelites. Does that sound familiar? And she tied this red thread. You can read the story. And she was saved. And she of all people makes the by faith chapter. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? Until you realize something. Moses' mom and dad's faith impacted Moses. Moses' faith impacted Joshua. Joshua and the spies impacted Rahab, and you ready for this? You read the book of Matthew, the very first chapter. This was a non-Jew incorporated into Jewish life. You ready for this? In the genealogy of Jesus, there is a name that's mentioned. You know whose name that is? Rahab the prostitute. What am I saying? When you step out in faith and you do great things for God, you ready? You will inevitably impact and help other people come to know Jesus Christ. by being faithful. You will help people know Jesus Christ. You will help them discover Jesus Christ by just doing what God tells you to do by faith. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, we love you. We know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he gave his life so that we would be saved. And Lord, in this moment now, we want to have faith in you and trust in you. God, we want to believe that you can do the impossible. And Father, for somebody here that's never given their heart to Jesus, Lord, I would pray today that they would begin to trust in Jesus Christ, that they would know that he can save them from their sins. He can save them from their faults, their mistakes, their failures. They just call on him by faith. Or there may be someone here today that needs to make a decision to follow you. And they need to join this church, come for baptism, or come to do whatever it is that you're speaking into them to do. But God, give them the courage to do that. Speak into their hearts, God. And whatever it is we have today, I pray we'll just lay it at your feet.